Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, podcast listeners? Thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 132 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Recently, I was on the Barbell Mobility podcast with Olympian Chad Vaughn, and we sat down and talked in depth about ankle mobility and the importance of barefoot training to enhance foot stability and your technique when lifting. I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. So without further ado, let's get to the show.
Dr. Aaron Horshick, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast, Barbell Mobility podcast. I'm excited to get this going and to talk about all things with the barbell, all things mobility. And that's your specialty. I'm something you're very passionate about, of course, right?
Extremely passionate about it. First off, I do want to say thank you for having me on, Chad. I'm excited for our conversation today. But yes, mobility is definitely something I'm extremely passionate about.
Absolutely. So within mobility, within talking about all things barbell, being that I've worked with you a lot, you know, we do a lot of create a lot of content together, do a lot of writing together, do a lot of things together. And one thing that I've learned that you're maybe most passionate about, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the feet, the feet part of it. And that's something, a part of the body that I think is very overlooked. And, you know, you pointing certain things out to me have led me in the direction of being very passionate about the feet. It's the base of everything. You stand on your feet, you lift from your feet. So can you tell me from your perspective, why are the feet so important when it comes to weightlifting, when it comes to being an athlete in general, when it comes to being a human in general?
Yeah. So I would say this is actually something that I've become much more consumed with the last year or two, actually. I mean, I've been putting out content with Squat University since 2015. And I would say really within the last couple of years, I've gone down the rabbit hole even more per se, when it comes to feet, because I found that it is such a weak link with so many athletes. And when we do turn our attention to the feet and understand the potential of what our lifts can look like when we do shore up our stability there, there's just so much more potential, you know, than most people even realize. So first and foremost, the feet set the foundation for your entire body to move on top of. Now, this obviously comes of no surprise to most people, but how we use our feet really determines how much stability we can get. Now, when you look at the foot structure, it's one of the most mobile structures of the entire body. There's over 100 bones, tendons, ligaments that all come together in order to create the foot structure. And there's a lot of movement capability at this structure. But the second we want to squat, the second we want to catch a clean, a snatch, we want all those structures to work together to create instant stability. The most useful analogy I can think of when it comes to the foot is to think about, we're actually two of them. First is the pyramid analogy. And understand that the wider a pyramid is, the taller it can go. Well, same goes with your foot, and the more stability your foot has, the better quality structure you can build up from. The second analogy is roots to a tree. And, you know, we've all seen these pictures and these videos of hurricane destruction coming through, and you see these trees that are just uprooted. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that a lot of the trees that are able to withstand the storm have just a massive root system. And if you want to think of your foot in the way in which you use it whenever you're lifting, it is like creating this root system. But unfortunately, if we want to go along with that analogy, there's a lot of very big trees that have very small root structures right now. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of very strong athletes that are not utilizing their foot stability to the greatest degrees possible and are therefore vulnerable to a storm. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say they're vulnerable to instability creeping into the system. That's the best way that I can think about it. A lot of this has to do with, I think we're always in shoes. A lot of people are, at least, and the way in which we are going about training foot stability. Now, I would say a lot of my information from what I've learned about feet can be traced back to my conversations with Dr. Ray McClanahan. He's the inventor of the Correcto toe spacer, which we've talked about before, I've shown before in Squat University. And I remember watching a video where he was working with Chris Duffin, who Chris Duffin's a owner, founder of Kabuki Strength. And he showed a demonstration where he took Chris's foot and he molded it to the shape that many people's feet take within a narrow shoe. Mm-hmm. And basically what he did is he had him stand on top of a shoe liner, an insole of a very narrow shoe, like a Nike. And when you do that, for most people, the toes are smashed together. The big toe is pulled in towards the rest of the toes. And what he asked him to do was move your foot in and out, the motion of pronation. And you could see instantly that when the big toe was pulled in towards the other toes, mm-hmm. the foot could pronate excessively. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of movement of the foot. And when you looked up at the knee, you could tell that the knee was moving a lot. But the second he moved his toes out, spread the toes out, now much further off the toe liner, meaning that it had to be outside of a narrow shoe, that foot instantly couldn't pronate excessively as much when he tried to drop his foot back down. It moved a little bit, but not nearly as much, and the mm-hmm. knee stayed in line.
Right.
And what that shows is that the position of your foot, specifically the position of your toes, instantly changes how much motion can occur at the foot and then directly at the knee. And it was one of those, like, you know, aha moments, mm-hmm. one of those mind blown moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense.
Right.
The position of your foot, dictated by the type of shoes you wear, but then also how you train your feet, has a direct connection to foot stability and or technique all the way up the body. We see so many people nowadays that are struggling with knee cave or shifting, and we're trying to take a top-down approach by always saying, oh, it's your hips and you need to work on your glute medius. And now, not to say that that's not important, but I think taking that bottom-up approach to understanding the feet, the structure of the feet, how you're being held within a shoe, how you're training your feet can have a dramatic effect on all things stability and technique, which is what we're trying to do as coaches and lifters, is become more efficient and better. And I think all that comes from looking at the feet first. Hey guys, before we go on any further with today's episode, if you're interested in any Olympic lifting specific programming help, Chad and I have a few programs that you can download on trainheroic.com that can not only help you build your snatch, your clean and jerk, and your squat, but also has some excellent programming for mobility and technique. So just head on over to Train Heroic Marketplace and search Squat University Back to Basics, and you'll find our programs. Now let's continue with the episode.
Yeah, I really had the same light bulb moment when you pointed that same information out to me initially. And it seems like it was maybe 6 months ago to a year ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. Like I said, we've been working together for so mm-hmm. long, but I remember that day having that same feeling and that same light bulb moment. Oh, this makes so much sense. If I can spread my toes better, if my big toe, my or other athletes' big toes aren't scrunched along with all the other ones, and it making so much sense of what our shoes are doing to us. And then when I'm looking at my feet and what they do and seeing that, hey, in regards to what Aaron is talking about, my feet are pretty healthy, and they're probably pretty healthy because I've spent so much time over the last, at least over the last 10 years, keeping my shoes off as much as possible, doing a lot of barefoot lifting, not all barefoot lifting. Of course, I'm lifting in my weightlifting shoes still and all that stuff, but I think my feet are in such, or are in the condition that they are on, more on the positive side because of what I've done. Now I'm going to come back to some recommendations about barefoot lifting or barefoot warming up, that kind of thing, here in a little bit. But to go along with what we're talking about here, mobility, the word that you've used most is stability. And that's specifically going to be when we're talking about the feet, and perhaps the feet need to have a certain amount of mobility to be able to be stable, especially if we're talking about being able to spread the toes. You need a certain amount of mobility to be able to do that. And the only way you're going to gain that is by keeping your shoes off and perhaps doing some other things. One of those things you can do is wear correct toes, and we can kind of come back to that in the end as well. But another point that I want to reinforce that you're talking about is when you go to do a squat or when you go to do a clean or a snatch, really though the feet should be mobile and they have the potential of being very mobile, they should almost be in a complete immovable object when you're squatting. So, and that's one thing I want to keep in mind. And again, it goes back to this idea of being able to spread the toes to a certain extent and stabilize. So when it comes to the feet, and we're talking about being able to spread the toes, being able to be stable with your foot, is there any one thing that leads you as a physical therapist to feel like you need to assess someone's feet, or is it just something that you look at on everyone anyway?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I would say whenever I'm evaluating someone as a physical therapist, one of the first things I do, and this is for any type of injury they may be dealing with, is I get them out of their shoes, out of their socks, and I ask them to perform simple movements like a squat. And I also do so with a loaded barbell on their back. Even if they squat with their weightlifting shoes on, I still think having the ability to squat with shoes off is so important, because it shows that you have the capacity to have sufficient and optimal balance and coordination. So I will definitely evaluate with shoes off and socks off for the reason that it often can expose big issues in stability. I would say the number one thing I get is almost that, you know, look in the face like a deer in the headlights when I ask people, hey, let's take your shoes off and let's see what your squat looks like. Just because, and this is especially true for Olympic weightlifting, so many athletes are only ever squatting in their shoes. And I was definitely there for sure a couple of years ago. I mean, if I forgot my weightlifting shoes, I purposely would not squat that day. I'd be like, well, I'm just going to have to push it off. I'll do some accessory work. I didn't bring my lifting shoes.
Yeah.
Whereas now I exclusively squat barefoot, and it's something we can get into later. But I think it's the idea that we so heavily rely on the assistance of a shoe that we forget that the squat is first and foremost a movement. And that is something that should not come with needing something to help us move better. So definitely during the evaluation process, getting out of your shoes and squatting barefoot and assessing yourself barefoot is key, because it can expose so many issues. You know, just anyone listening to this, can you put a bar over your head like you're doing an overhead squat, and can you sit all the way down? Now, yes, a weightlifting shoe is going to help you get even deeper sometimes and have more of an upright chest just because of the change in biomechanics. But if you can't sit down there, and you can't be comfortable completely barefoot, I think it shows that we have some work to do. And it can often expose you, because you have so many mechanoreceptors and just sensation receptors within your foot, almost like your hand, how you can touch and feel so many different things with your hand versus if you had a glove on your hand, that sensation is dulled. Well, same thing with your feet. And if you're always ever in socks and shoes, you may never feel like, oh, wow, I'm actually shifting a good amount, or I can feel my foot caving in or sliding out to the side. You can expose it. And that's the first step in fixing anything, is becoming aware and increasing your awareness of that, of the position of your foot.
Yeah, absolutely. What really kills me is this thought process of, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, just not having that awareness or ignorance of the concept. But this thought process of, when, you know, when we put out content before talking about doing barefoot squatting and benefits of that and stuff like that. But this thought process of, I only need to be able to snatch and clean and jerk or squat with my weightlifting shoes on. I'm sufficient. I'm good enough with my weightlifting shoes on. But I've just seen too many athletes that really literally look like completely different athletes when they're wearing their weightlifting shoes versus when they're barefoot. And my point is, and I know your point as well, is that if we can get you to look at least similar, if not very, very close to the same barefoot versus with your weightlifting shoes on, then you just have so much more insurance and potential in lifting in general, and specifically when you have those weightlifting shoes on. And so I'm always preaching to athletes, you know, if you can, for example, improve your barefoot air squat or your barefoot front squat or back squat, even the slightest amount, it's going to mean exponential improvement for your front squat, your back squat, your air squat, your Olympic lifts with weightlifting shoes on. Now,
definitely. That one thing I just want to jump in real quick. You said insurance and potential performance.
Yes.
And I think this is one thing that a lot of people need to understand is the content that we're trying to give out, whether that's Barbell Mobility or all the stuff, Squat University, or all this stuff that we're creating and writing with the book together, is understanding that if you look at the most elite, you know, lifters that you find on Hook Grip and all things gym, is getting better at barefoot squatting going to help them maybe win the next gold medal? Probably not. They're right. Elite athletes at the top of their game. But 99% of people out there who are Olympic weightlifters and CrossFitters are not the elite of the elite. Right. And the analogy that I love to use is that for us average everyday athletes, our goal when we approach training is to squeeze out every last ounce of talent and potential mm-hmm. out of our bodies so that we can hit our max potential and find longevity in our training. Because we're trying to train not only for year one, year five, but mm-hmm. also to continue training for the rest of our lives. And 100%, the ability to perform and enhance your ability to perform lifts with your shoes off will improve that as well. So that's the big thing is I see a lot of people almost twist some of the ways in which we're approaching things like this, like the mm-hmm. ability to perform a single leg squat. And right. they'll say, oh, well, this elite athlete that just, you know, hit this world record, I wonder if he can do a single leg squat. Right. Well, it's good if he can, it's good if he can't, it's all right. But I will say this, 99% of people would benefit right. from working towards being able to do that single leg squat because it's enhancing the base of the pyramid. It's enhancing the root system of the tree. And those things matter if we're talking about trying to reach our end potential and finding mm-hmm. longevity in the same way.
Absolutely. And just a quick comment here, it just improves everything up through the rest of the body. And if you really think about that, it will make sense. Like you said, comparing it to the root of a tree, the stronger the root of that tree is, the stronger and more healthy everything up from that point is. And that's exactly why, you know, this is the first recording I'm doing for Barbell Mobility and why it's on the feet, because that mm-hmm. is the beginning of everything. That's the beginning of you, everything you teach, everything I teach. I mean, we're not just talking about the squat or talking about your feet when we're writing and creating content on the squat. We're talking about the feet with everything. I spend so much time writing and saying feet or foot, you know, in every single section of anything that I'm writing, when I'm talking about weightlifting, snatching a clean and jerk, when I'm talking about the body in general. So keep that in mind to our listeners out there, as you're taking this stuff in, as you're thinking about your programming and your process moving forward. Now, you've looked at an athlete, you've assessed them, you've seen them without their shoes on, you see that there is some limitation there. Maybe their toes are scrunched together. They've maybe they have a flat feet. Their feet want to turn out as they squat. All these things that we typically see with what I would refer to as quote unquote unhealthy feet or unstable feet. We've talked about just simply squatting barefoot as one of the potential drills to help address and strengthen your feet and mobilize your feet. Are there any other exercises or drills or concepts that you would give this individual if you feel their feet are in condition to where they are limiting their potential?
So I think the first thing is understanding how are you using your feet throughout the day. And the first thing we have to turn to is your shoes. Now, at this point in time, every single pair of weightlifting shoes on the market is too narrow. Now, of course, there's a little bit of variety. The Dewin pair, I believe, are probably the one that's the widest. I've heard some people say that their ASIC weightlifting shoes may be a little bit wider, but for the far majority of people that are training with weightlifting shoes, the Nikes, the Adidas, the Reeboks, they're all way too narrow. So they're smashing our foot into an unnatural position. At this time, we can't obviously do anything about that, because if you're a CrossFitter, a weightlifter, you use weightlifting shoes for the lifts, the main lifts. However, you are not in those weightlifting shoes, I would hope not, throughout the majority of your day. So the first thing we have to do is understand, well, what can we do to put our foot into a more optimal position throughout the day? And that is first, either going barefoot if you're at home, you know, not wearing a Nike shoe around your house or something like that. But then also, can you make better choices of footwear throughout your rest of your day with things that are maybe widest at the toe. So there's a number of shoe brands nowadays that have wider, better footwear options for us. And that's going to be things like Zeros, Vivo Barefoot, Field Grounds, the Barefoot Athletics shoes, Lems, Ultras, but basically try to find a footwear that does not restrict your foot. And actually, there's interesting research years and decades ago that they took groups of people that had a number of foot deformities because of the shoes that they wore. And again, this is a lot of people out there have bunions and hammer toes and Morton's neuroma and things like that because of just wearing narrow shoes throughout their day. And they took a number of these people and put them into a wider toe box shoe. And that's their only intervention. They just said, go throughout your day. Don't do any other specific exercises. Just go throughout your day. And they found that, and again, this takes time. I believe it was, you know, months, years, that they found that the people who wore the wider toe box shoe, their foot actually did change. The toes became wider. The foot had less of this abnormality whenever you look at it, because the foot was able to adapt and go back out to its natural shape with the toes as the widest part of the complex. So that's the first thing, is getting a pair of shoes that are widest at the toes. The second thing that I am a huge fan of, and I wear every single day myself, is a pair of correct toes. Now, there are many toe spacers that are on the market nowadays. I personally enjoy correct toes for the reason that I believe they are the most well-produced. They last the longest and they feel the most comfortable. And these are, again, invented by Dr. Ray McClanahan, who's a podiatrist up in the Northwest, up in Oregon. And the idea, again, is that it is an orthotic that is aimed at realigning the position of your feet. So again, it all comes back to, many times we are wearing shoes that are way too narrow for our feet. And this is due to just fashion standards that we unknowingly adhere to. Every time you buy a pair of Nikes and Adidas, you're putting shoes on your toe, on your feet, that are way too narrow, which abnormally changes the position of your toes, smashes them together. Your body starts realigning into this harmful position. So correct toes are almost like braces for your toes,
right?
And they, you know, allow your toes to spread and realign to the position that we want to see them in. Remember, the wider your toes, the better stability your foot can handle and create and maintain while you're moving. And again, there's other research studies that show the benefit of this. What they did was they took a couple different groups of people, and one group wore a pair of wide toe box shoes. I believe they were Vivo Barefoot. The second group wore the Vivo Barefoot, but then also wore the correct toes. And then the third group was just their control group. They just wore their regular narrow shoes. And they did balance testing with them before and then at the end of the study. And I believe it was like 8 to 10 weeks or something like that. Now, at the end of that time period, they found that the group that wore the correct toes had improved balance markers over any of the groups. And here's the interesting thing. They didn't perform any specific balance drills. They just wore the correct toes with the, obviously, the wide toe box shoe, because you can't wear them in a pair of Nikes, throughout the day. That's all they did. So technically, by walking around with the correct toes on, with your foot in better alignment, your body's learning to strengthen and stabilize your foot naturally. You don't have to actually do any balance drills. Now, what do I do with them? Basically, I'm wearing them throughout the day. I wear them when I squat. And just that alone, my feet feel so much stronger. So that when you do take them off, which again, they didn't even test with them on, they just wore them for the trial period, but they tested with them off, showing that even taking off the correct toes, your body still retains a lot of that inherited stability that you've learned.
Yeah, I love it. I love the idea and the concept of correct toes. Again, when you pointed those out to me, you know, it rang a bell, because as you know, I use a lot of exaggeration and a lot of devices and things when I program and when I give people mobility to act like braces, for example, like elevated heel squats to help you get into a better position. And the idea is to progress out of that elevation over time, or something like contraption squats. I won't spend time digging into that, but if any of you guys are interested to learn more about contraption squats, you can go to VonWeightlifting.com and click on the blogs and kind of thumb through there and read about contraption squats or the exaggeration method. But this leads us perfectly into kind of what I want to wrap up with here and just talking to you about how the barbell mobility program, the barbell mobility app, you know, on a general basis works on the feet. And one way is that we use the exaggeration method, like I talked about. We use these types of things that we can consider as a brace, like elevating your heels so you can put your foot in a stronger, more stable position and still perform that squat. One of the things I do is I also wear correct toes while I'm performing my barbell mobility type warmups, because the major thing that we do in the barbell mobility program to help strengthen and mobilize your feet and make them stronger and better for the Olympic lifts or for barbell movements in general is on more than half of the warmups that we give, we specifically indicate for you to perform them barefoot. It's as simple as that. It is truly as simple as that. As Aaron was saying earlier, you know, talking about some of these studies, and the only thing that they did was make them go barefoot more often, or I can't remember exactly what you said, Aaron, but you're indicating that they were either barefoot or they were in a wide toe box shoe, and that alone helped them make change. Now, it took time, and this is going to take time. But if on a regular basis you are doing your warmups, and specifically barbell mobility warmups, where you're squatting, where you're hinging, where you're doing all these different drills, ankle rocks, tibia rotation drills that we'll talk more about and you guys will get more familiar with, and you'll be very familiar with if you're on the barbell mobility program, you're doing all these things barefoot. It's going to add up significantly pretty quickly and help make a change. And over a long period of time, it's going to make the change. Again, if you're doing these warmups as indicated barefoot, if you're adding to this correct toes, especially for those that need it, if you look down at your foot and the base of your big toe is poking way out to the inside, if you know all of your toes are scrunched on top of each other, you know, you've got your second toe on top of your big toe and your third toe is under that, you know, and then the other two are on top of each other as well, that's a pretty big indicator that you'll benefit from going barefoot in general as much as you can, doing some barefoot moving and lifting, and adding the correct toes to that. I think that's pretty important. I'm not partnered with Correct Toes or anything like that. I'd like to be at some point because I believe in them so much, and I believe they could be a good partner and a big part of the barbell mobility program. But I believe in that type of bracing so much, and especially if it's combined with some of your movement, with being barefoot, getting those shoes off as much as you can. Now, again, that's how we work on your feet on a general basis inside of the app. And from your expertise, Aaron, as a physical therapist, as someone that's focused so much on the feet, is there anything you feel we can do on a general basis with the barbell mobility program to help athletes with their feet beyond what we're currently doing?
Man, I think the big thing is just continue doing what barbell mobility is doing. It's very specific to enhancing mobility, movement quality, and what I like to call movement competency, the ability to own the movement that you should have. And that's the thing that I love about barbell mobility, is it's very specific to unleashing what the athlete should have. And it focuses on the small but very simple things. And once you put those into your training program, there's no telling how much improvement you're going to see, so much better lifting long-term with consistency.
Awesome. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me once again. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Always learn something from you. Something always sticks out. And for us to be able to talk about the feet, talk about the squat, talk about mobility, that's what we do. So it was very easy, went by very quickly, and I'm sure I'll be chatting with you again soon. Thank you so much again for all the information that you give.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on, man.
All right. So cut that one. That was episode one. I'll just keep us recording here. And do you need a break or anything like that? Or you just
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Let's see. How do I want to start this?
Only had a few coughs in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we can, it's not too big of a deal. We'll leave them in, or if they're easily cut out, we can get them out of there. No worries. All right. You ready? I'm going to just jump right into it.
Let's do it.
Dr. Aaron Horshick, thank you for joining me once again. This is basically a continuation of a conversation that we had about the feet and the importance of the feet being mobile and stable for the benefit of your Olympic lifts, and appropriate that we're just going to go right on up to the next part of the body, which are the ankles. And what I want to start off with here is just to ask you and really indicate, because I know what your answer is going to be, is a part of having healthier, more mobile ankles, having a healthier, more mobile foot?
100%. And I think that's the area that most people completely forget. And the one message I think that's the most common that I receive on a daily basis is, I have done so much ankle mobility work. I stretch, I mobilize, I foam roll, and my ankles won't get any better. What is the deal? And the first thing I ask them is, well, how often are you out of your shoes, and what type of shoes do you wear throughout your day? Because an unstable foot will create a compensation up the chain, leading to stiffness in order to keep the body upright. The body has this crazy way of adapting and changing to keep itself from falling over. And if you don't have sufficient foot stability, the body will find it somewhere else, but usually in the form of stiffness. And the second that you start working on improving your foot stability and the strength of those muscles and the ability to align your foot better, all of a sudden you can start unlocking that end range ankle mobility that couldn't be unlocked before because you were so weak and unstable in a part of the body that didn't seem like it was really the problem.
Right. Absolutely. And there are a number of reasons why someone may need to squat with their toes turned out. But what I see so much of, and again, I'm saying this because some of it does come from the feet, or it potentially comes from lacking stability and mobility in the feet, and, you know, having no arch in the foot, and their foot is always wanting to collapse, is the knee directing inside of the toes over and over and over again, rep after rep after rep. And so they have the most ankle mobility with their knee directing to the inside, and they're just, you know, continuing to let the knee go in that direction and creating that pattern and locking their body to that position more and more. So, you know, along with what we're talking about here, ankles and the need for good ankle mobility, you know, we need good ankle mobility in all directions, to the inside, straight ahead, and also to the outside. So I think that's one thing that I want the listeners to really keep in mind, and something that we're continually trying to address in the barbell mobility program in the app on a very general basis. Now, in your words, Aaron, can you explain why the ankles, why good ankle range of motion, why good ankle mobility is so important for snatches and clean and jerks, for squats, for again, not just that, but because, you know, to me, barbell mobility and everything that I teach and do with athletes is really more about health and longevity of the human. So not only do I want to hear why is it important for weightlifting, but why is it important for athletes in general and for us as humans?
Yeah. I mean, it really all comes down to first understanding that the fundamental component to a snatch, to a clean, is the squat first and foremost. You know, you're getting down and you're receiving the barbell in a deep squat. And something that I say, you know, over and over again, is a squat is first and foremost a movement before it's an exercise. Now, in order to squat to full depth, your knee needs to translate over the toe, or towards and then over the toe, depending on someone's body proportions and, you know, limb length proportions. In order for the knee to go over the toe, the ankle must be mobile. Mm-hmm. And when that can happen, it allows the hips to descend to the greatest depth while maintaining an upright chest. So simply saying, if you lack ankle mobility, the knee hits a brick wall. It can only go so far forward, which then creates this sensation that a person is falling backwards. Now, the only way to not feel like you're falling backwards is to collapse your chest forward. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest faults that we see in squatting, in snatching and clean and jerking is someone not being balanced and falling forward too much. And a lot of times it can all be traced back to the ankles. So if we're talking movement quality first, and we can trace it all the way back to the squat as a movement before an exercise, just the ability to sit your butt on your heels, a lot of that motion comes from the ankles. And that's probably one of the most restricted areas in a person by person basis when I do evaluations. A lot of it comes down to ankle mobility. Now, I would say that a lot of the times that's because a lot of people take this, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it type of approach. But think about how often throughout the day we actually use our full ankle mobility. Right. Now, every time you sit down into a chair, you, you know, are taking up a, at least 90 degrees of, you know, your hip mobility range of motion. But I would say a majority of people never really get to 50% of their ankle mobility throughout their day consistently. And if people were very honest with themselves, the only time they're sitting in the bottom of a deep squat is the brief few seconds that they have during their workout. And again, if we're talking about weightlifters, obviously we're sitting down in a deep squat consistently throughout the week. If you're maybe a CrossFitter, maybe you're not sitting down there as deep as often, you know, as a weightlifter who's, you know, pulling two-a-days and whatnot. So really throughout the week, the amount of time spent in that full deep compressed position is very minimal for a lot of people. And then we wonder why we don't have that mobility. And it's because, again, if you don't use it often, you start losing that mobility. That's why we see, you know, 70, 80 year old grandparents walking around and they're extremely stiff. They don't have that full mobility for a lot of us. And obviously more of the first world countries, though. You go to other places around the world where the deep squat is a movement that is accessed often throughout the day. And you'll see people well into their later years of life who are easily able to sit down into a full depth motion because they never stopped using that ability.
Absolutely. One of my pet peeves is hearing, you know, athletes that say they're older, and, you know, I have my opinions on what is old and what is not. And maybe it's not necessarily about, you know, the age that makes you old. And that's kind of what the point that I'm getting to. So they're going to tell me that they are stiff and immobile simply because they're old. And I'm saying, okay, I'm only 41. So, I mean, I've got some age on me, but not a lot. So I can understand where you're coming from a little bit, but I truly believe that you're immobile because you weren't using your range of motion where you could have been. I'm honestly more mobile than I've ever been in most areas in my right ankle. So for those of you that don't know, I was born with a club foot, and I'll talk about this a little bit more later, because ankle mobility on my right foot, on my right side, is something that I've got to work on just about every day. Otherwise it kind of goes backwards. So even just to maintain it, I've got to work on it, every single day. I lost my
thought. Definitely maintaining that mobility throughout the day. And what you do consistently, I think, breeds into, you know, maintaining that quality throughout your days, throughout your weeks, throughout your months.
Right. Absolutely. Maybe I'll remember my thought here in a minute and we'll come back to it, but I definitely want to, you know, make a point with some of the ankle work that I do and some of the things that I do for my ankle here in a little bit. But what leads you, Aaron, to come to, for an athlete that comes to you and for you to test their ankle mobility again? Is that something that you do with everyone just kind of out of the gate, or more depending on what you see in their squat?
So first and foremost, what I do is always look at their squat first, double leg and single leg, see what you can find. And then from there, I will then systematically break down the body based on where I think they need to go next. Now, sometimes people will call it a top-down approach. If you start by addressing the hips and then move down to the ankle, sometimes you call it a bottoms-up approach if you look at the ankle mobility first. Regardless, usually ankle mobility will be a part of the breakout screen once I've established what the movement issue is. So first thing, I will get someone, and this is, again, for anyone coming to me that's got knee pain, you know, back pain, hip pain, ankle pain, or maybe they just have a movement issue. They're like, I shift every time I squat. Okay, let's see what we can find. First things first is what can you observe? So I get them out of their shoes and I'm going to have them squat body weight, then with a barbell, and then maybe some light weight if it's not hurting too bad. And then I'm going to ask them to do a single leg squat. And I'm seeing, is there a suboptimal movement pattern? Are they shifting? Is their knee caving to one side? Can they squat well on one leg and then maybe not on the other side? But basically, what do you see? Because you can learn a lot from just observing. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we break down and we use then different tests to uncover mobility issues side to side. Now, the big thing that I always try to get across to people when they're coming up with all the different problems that they may have, because when you start screening your body, you'll sometimes find a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. Some of them need to be addressed. Some of them don't need to be a first priority.
Right.
Is first off understanding we want to address asymmetries before symmetrical mm-hmm. stiffness. So what I mean by that is, let's say I'm going through the body and I'm taking a top-down approach and I find someone has symmetrical but limited hip internal rotation. Mm-hmm. But then when I get down to the ankles, I find that there is a significant difference. Now, the test I like to use is just a simple 5-inch wall test for any physical therapist, chiropractor, athletic training student that may be listening to this. It's the half kneeling dorsiflexion test is the official name for it. Basically, you kneel down from close to a wall or a rig, and you place your foot 5 inches from that wall. From there, you're then going to try to drive the knee straight forward, if not, maybe a little bit more out to the side, maybe over the third or fourth toe, and see how far you can get towards the wall. Now, 5 inches roughly for most people comes out to about 30 to 35 degrees of closed chain dorsiflexion, meaning we have a pretty sufficient good amount of ankle mobility. Now, again, the goal isn't necessarily, do you hit the wall? Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to see a lot of Olympic weightlifters and CrossFitters, I'd like you to come close, if not get past that, because again, the further your knee can go forward, usually the deeper you can squat with a more mm-hmm. upright chest. Mm-hmm. But the big thing I'm looking for is there a difference side to side? Mm-hmm. Is it a big difference? Mm-hmm. Because what happens is that if there's a difference, let's say your right knee can easily hit the wall, but your left knee comes and you're maybe a half an inch away. That means every time you go to access that full range of motion, knee over toe, remember, as you're squatting down, the knees are moving forward, you're going to hit on one side that end range, meaning your body mm-hmm. is going to have to create some change, some compensation and movement all the way up the rest of the chain. Now, over time, this can lead to inefficiencies in movement. Now, asymmetries, side-to-side differences in the body, are very normal in and even wanted in certain movements, specifically sporting movements. You're not going to be a very good golfer or a very good baseball player if you probably don't have certain asymmetries in movement as far as side-to-side differences in rotational capabilities. And that's just the nature of the sport when you always do things one way, when you always throw one way, when you always swing one way. But a squat, a snatch, and a clean are very bilateral movements. Mm-hmm. And the more we invite asymmetries into the picture, the more inefficiencies we can find in those movement patterns because we start twisting and shifting side to side to make up for it, to compensate. So the biggest thing is using the 5-inch wall test is to mm-hmm. see, first off, how good is your ankle mobility? Do you pass? Yes, no. But is there a big difference side to side? Because we want to tackle that before we would tackle other bilateral stiffness. For example, limited hip internal rotation mm-hmm. would be maybe a factor that would limit or create a compensation to where someone would want to turn their toes out mm-hmm. excessively during a squat. We want to tackle that side-to-side difference in ankle mobility right. ever before we would do the side-to-side symmetrical hip internal rotation. So that would be the big thing to look out for.
Right. Absolutely. Asymmetry is critical. And just so I don't forget to say this later, if you're on the barbell mobility program and you've tested your ankles, which I recommend that everyone does because individualized work is very important. You can use the barbell mobility program as your base program, as something that you can maybe adjust from a little bit. And one of those adjustments that I would suggest on a general basis is if you know that you've got a major asymmetry in your ankles, whenever ankle mobility comes up in the program, which it does a lot on a general basis, then you can do extra reps on the one side or only do ankle mobility drills on that one side, especially if your other side is completely passing or good to go. So just something to keep in mind there. Now, you've come across an athlete that's got some major asymmetry from one side to the other, or you've come across an athlete that, you know, say in their test, I don't know what, you know, maybe you can share with us what amount of limitation you would say that they need to be working both of them. For example, if they're 4 inches from the wall with a 5-inch wall test on both sides, at that point, would you try to address both? And in either case, what are your go-to ankle mobility drills?
Yeah. So first, what I would do is, again, that's why we always look at movement first. What's the quality of their squat? Because if someone can, especially with an overhead squat, which would be the most demanding on an upright chest, if they can sit down easily into a deep squat with the bar overhead and feel very comfortable, I'm good. They may have a slight limitation on that 5-inch wall test, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they need to have more ankle mobility, because again, that's why we're screening barefoot, to make it even more demanding. But I've had people before that can not pass the 5-inch wall test, yet their squat is unaffected. They can sit perfectly down into a deep squat,
right?
Even though, that's why we always look at movement first, and then if it's a movement problem, then go down and screen. So if someone does come up with a limitation in ankle mobility, what are my first go-tos? Obviously, the first thing we need to do is we need to attack joint motion before we attack soft tissue mobility. What I mean by that is banded joint mobilizations are going to be the first go-to. And this is especially true for a lot of people that have had prior ankle sprains. I can't tell you the amount of people that will say, well, my left ankle is the one that's most restricted, and I've sprained that ankle 5 times when I was younger in high school.
Right.
That makes sense. A lot of times after an ankle sprain, if you didn't get that mobility back within the first couple of weeks, a lot of scar tissue can set in. It can limit long-term the mobility of that ankle. So banded joint mobilizations are an excellent drill. This is something that I did not invent at all. This is something that physical therapists have been using for decades. One of the most simple explanations is called mobilization with movement. And it's a process of technique where basically we have a band that is pulling down on the top of the foot, on the talus bone, pulling down while the knee moves forward. Now, the thing is, I walk into so many CrossFit gyms sometimes, and I see so many people doing banded joint mobilizations incorrectly. They have the band basically on the top or the bottom part of their shin. That's not helping at all. Basically, you're doing nothing. When the knee moves forward, the tibia bone moves forward over the top of the foot, in the talus bone, which is the bone, the small bone that's on the top of your foot, moves backwards. So there's this common forward and backward relationship to the shin and the foot. The band is there to help assist this natural joint motion that we see during the motion of dorsiflexion, knee over toe. So if you have that band on the top of your shin, it's not helping at all. So we're using that band to assist the natural joint motion. So banded joint mobilizations are key. I love doing just a little bit of soft tissue work with some foam rolling if I want to open up a window for improving soft tissue pliability and flexibility. And then just some very squat specific calf stretches I think can be very helpful, whether that's up on a box or a bench or a goblet squat. And all these things are covered in my YouTube video, Top 3 Ankle Mobility Exercises. And we've shared a number of them in the past for anyone that wants to see a better visual of this. But basically, it's the idea of attacking joint restriction first, and then attacking soft tissue work afterwards. And the reason for that is because a stretch or foam rolling, so soft tissue mobilization, will not usually change a joint restriction. So we want to be able to work the joint first before then go into the soft tissue work.
Right. Absolutely. So that, talking about soft tissue work or what a lot of people know as just simply smashing or foam rolling, using a lacrosse ball, something like that. That brings me back to, again, want to come back to my club foot and use myself as an example here, because going back to the 5-inch wall test. So when I test my ankles cold, right? And that's typically what I like to do when I assess people. I like to assess them at least relatively cold, because really my goal in the end is to get you access to good range of motion immediately, you know, without any warm up. on my left side, on my quote unquote healthy side, I can go past the wall. So if the wall wasn't there, I can probably go 6 inches, right? On my right side, again, when I'm cold, I'm a good 4 inches from the wall. So that is a pretty large asymmetry. So what allows me to even out, you know, to the best of my ability when I'm snatching, when I'm cleaning, when I'm squatting, one is that I've got really good tibia rotation on that club foot side. You guys listened to that recording, you know, we'll be talking about tibia rotation in another episode and specifically how to assess and address that on an individual basis and everything else. Also, I've got good overall mobility up through the rest of my body. And my feet are strong and healthy as well. Even on that right club foot, I've got a good arch and I've got good spread in my toes, as we've talked about before. So that helps me overcome that. But the drills that the combination of drills that works the best for me, that it can give me an extra 2 inches, you know, inch and a half or 2 inches on any given day, is rolling out the bottom of my foot and then immediately going into a banded ankle mobilization, right? So I'll do that for a couple rounds, combining that, doing that in between some squat variations, which if you're on the barbell mobility program, you're going to be very familiar with this concept of doing a mobility drill and then doing a squat or whatever other specific exercise we're working on. But going back and forth and doing that a number of times, and also combining that sometimes, depending on the day, I will do a weighted ankle drill, which means I'll just sit down in the bottom of a squat and there I'll either do this with what's called a goblet ankle stretch, shifting from one side to the other. Obviously for me, I'll just shift to that one right side and get some weight on top of that right ankle. And again, I'm doing that in combination with smashing the bottom of the foot, the banded ankle mobilization, and getting some weight on there. And then of course, going into a full depth squat and getting some time and setting in that bottom position.
And one thing I want to touch on briefly that you mentioned is going back and forth between a mobility drill and then some form of weighted exercise or movement. And I think that's something that so many people can benefit from, especially if you have stiff ankles or any type of mobility issue, regardless, is do your mobility drill, but then instantly do some type of loaded movement that moves you through that new range of motion. Mm-hmm. So do a calf stretch, do a banded joint mobilization, and then do a deep squat and just sit down there and access that new motion, because that's how you get something to stick. Right. I think that's something that so many people, they just do their mobility drill and then sure they may do their squatting afterwards, but they're not actually, again, if you were to actually count the amount of seconds that you're sitting in a deep squat, for most people, it's very minimal. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're on the Chad Vaughn program, you'll do a number of 5 to 10 second pauses, oh, yeah, which constantly. I truly love constantly. But I think it's, again, there's a reason for that, is because you're accessing and expressing your ownership of that full mobility. And that's the only way to make something truly stick and carry over to where it's more long-term. Get the motion, keep the motion. And the way you keep the motion is then to use some sort of mobility, or not mobility drill, some sort of strengthening exercise with load to teach your body how to own that. And again, what that does is goes off the idea of mobility and stability are constantly at this interplay relationship. And by doing a loaded deep squat, technically you are enhancing stability, your ownership. And again, a lot of the reasons for having mobility restrictions is to cover up a lack of stability. There's a quote by Gray Cook, and I'm going to have to look it up here real quick on my phone, because I do want to read this.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
He said something that I really liked the other day. He said, stiffness hides a stability problem and causes mobility problems. Mm-hmm. So what that's showing is that, you know, we can stretch and stretch, and if all we're doing is understanding or going after the stiffness, you know, we're not actually addressing the stability issue as well. And I think that's where going after the loaded movement directly after in between doing a lot of mobility drills can really help us enhance our long-term changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. You know, when I first became a coach in the CrossFit communities where I first started teaching weightlifting, and that was way back in early 2010. So, man, I can't believe it's been like 12 years now, but I pretty quickly became passionate about mobility because I was coming across, most athletes that I was coming across had, they weren't able to get into the positions that I wanted. They weren't able to squat as deep as I wanted. They weren't able to get as upright as I wanted. They weren't able to easily get into a position with the bar above the knee, the middle part of the pull there. So all these things were happening, and I understood pretty quickly that I was going to need to learn more about mobility. And one of the things that I started doing, one ways I started working on mobility first, just because it's just kind of what was the general protocol that I could see, was to do some sort of mobility drills at the end of your workout. And a lot of that was smashing, you know, a few other forms here and there. But I learned quickly also that that wasn't very effective. One, you know, and maybe the biggest reason it wasn't very effective is because, you know, they just weren't doing it because it was at the end of their workout, you know, so they got through their workout, they felt accomplished, they felt good about what they did. I'm just going to skip this for the day and I'll do it tomorrow. And then the first time they skipped it, guess what happened? They skipped it again and they skipped it again and they skipped it again. But also the reason why I think it wasn't very effective is because they were doing some mobility drills combined with nothing. And then they would get in their car and leave, and basically their body's just going to kind of go back to where it was before. So I started putting mobility work at the beginning of their programs in their workout within their warmup. Pretty quickly, I started combining those with squats because I wanted to warm up their squat, just to do some general air squats, leg swings and stuff like that in combination with the mobility drills that I felt they needed. And that's where I really started seeing, one, better movement and positions within their workout because they went through that, but over time improved ranges of motion and mobility and positions. It's because of two things. One, they actually did it because it's the first thing that they did. And two, the combination of alternating back and forth between a mobility drill and movement. And honestly, there's, yes, specific movements that any movement that you're trying to improve, you can do this with. But because a full depth squat is a position and a movement that is so high in demand and overall mobility, you know, you can't really go wrong with combining that. And that's why you're going to see so much of that in the barbell mobility program in general. So wanted to, as we're heading towards wrapping this up, just go over one, say that everyone should assess their ankles just to see where you're at. 5-inch wall test is the go-to for that. How many inches are you from the wall? Can you touch the wall? All that kind of thing. If you see one that you have a major asymmetry or major limitation in both, you should absolutely do some extra work with your ankles or with the one ankle that you find limitation in. But barbell mobility on a general basis is going to help you improve your ankle range of motion if you need it. One, remember that barbell mobility is about key position improvement, meaning that we want to improve it overall, whether that's your ankles or your hips, whatever it is, we want to improve the bottom of your squat overall. That's one of our key positions. Start position is one of your key positions. Front rack position and overhead position are the other two of the four key positions that we really hammer on and work on. So within that general work, you're going to get a large dose of ankle mobility work because a lot of athletes struggle with it. And because it is such an important part of that bottom position, of the bottom position of your squat, and therefore of your front rack and your overhead position as well. But the first thing we're going to do to work that will help your ankle range of motion is what we talked about in the previous recording, barefoot. We are going to indicate for you to perform all of your squat warmups within the barbell mobility program barefoot. Okay. That is going to be some good ankle range of motion, something that's going to be very good to help you improve that ankle range of motion, along with strengthening and mobilizing and creating more stability in your feet. You're going to be doing these ankle drills barefoot. Any ankle drill that you have in there is going to be barefoot as well. You're going to see banded ankle rocks in there. You're going to see regular ankle rocks in there. You're going to see goblet squat ankle stretches in there. You're going to see some smashing in there as well, foot smashing, calf smashing, shin smashing, that will, one, again, help that overall bottom position, but also lend to more ankle range of motion for anyone that needs it. Another thing that's going to help your ankle range of motion is the elevation progressions, meaning, again, we're going to do a lot of elevated heel squats. We'll do that with what's called an extended arm goblet squat or air squats. Any form of squat that we can give you, you will see in most of the warmups that you're giving, at least some of those sets being done with elevation. That's going to allow you, for a lot of athletes, it's going to allow you to get into a deeper, better quality bottom position, allow you to get that ankle or that knee to go further beyond the toe, get you a good ankle stretch if you need it, but get your body used to being in that position. It's very much like elevated heel squats to me are very much like downhill sprints. You know, you would do downhill sprints to teach you a faster and longer stride to help carry over to the elevated surface sprint, just like we would do downhill sprints to help you learn a better position and movement and action that will hopefully eventually carry over to your level surface, right? Pauses, Aaron mentioned it in my weightlifting programs. I write his weightlifting program, so he does a tremendous amount of pause squatting with weight. Well, on any squat that you're going to perform in the barbell mobility program, whether that's for your bottom position, meaning we're doing, you know, again, extended arm goblet squats or support squats where you're holding onto a rig and pulling your hips forward, or whether that's weighted squats with front squats or overhead squats where we're working on your overhead position, you're going to pause for at least 3 seconds, if not five, if not 10, if not even a little bit more at some point. So pause squats are going to assist in improved ankle range of motion, along with, of course, helping you become more aware and better and more mobile and stronger in those key positions in general. I want to come back and say that if you test your ankle range of motion and you find that asymmetry, you know you've got that asymmetry when you're doing your ankle or when you're doing your barbell mobility warmups in general, just work the one side or do extra reps on the one side to assist in trying to help that asymmetry, along with some added individualized ankle work that you should be doing if you find it there. And with that, Aaron, I think we can wrap this up. Before we get you out of here today, you know, I've got a few general questions I like to ask my guests now and then when we have a few extra moments. I wonder, you know, we've been talking about issues that a lot of athletes have. We, you know, on the previous recording, we talked about the feet, which will limit everything you do in weightlifting. We talked about ankles, which will limit everything you do in weightlifting. But when we're talking about the key positions I just covered, bottom position, start position, front rack position, overhead position, what of those key positions do you as an athlete struggle with the most?
Gosh, which one do I struggle with the most? I feel like this is a trick question because of all the reviewing that you do of my lifting.
I know, right?
I feel like my probably the consistency of getting into a good bottom position for my clean, it's snatch. Consistently getting to the most compressed and extreme position, especially with my heavier lifts looking 100% the same. I think that's something I'd like to get better at. I think we've done a lot of practicing and manipulation of my start position over the last year and a half, 2 years. So I feel like my start position for my snatch and my clean are much more efficient than they used to be. And now it's just, I feel like my bottom position for my squats are, gosh, night and day different. So yeah. That's one thing is, you know, it's interesting that I had been technically, gosh, lifting for 11. No, I competed for 11 years. I was in Olympic weightlifting for 15 years. And yet I have never really fully expressed 100% compressed depth in the bottom of a front squat, a back squat, an overhead squat. I mean, right. that's something, you know, of all the different reviewing we've done of elite athletes, that's not uncommon. There's I would say it's a rarity to find an athlete squat to 100% full depth. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think it obviously should be much better. And I was actually just scrolling through my phone the other day and looking at a lot of squats that I had from a couple years ago and seeing how I would get below parallel for sure. But gosh, compared to nowadays, I mean, I literally sit my butt on my heels And it's such a night and day difference. I wish I had, you know, it's one of those, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I wish I could go back in time and tell my, you know, 18-year-old self when I first started competing in Olympic weightlifting, hey, like, take your time building that deep compressed bottom position squat.
Yeah.
And over time, it's going to lead to so much more beneficial things because I feel so much better in the bottom of my clean and snatch because I'm putting in the work in enhancing my back squat in my front squat bottom position.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I believe that that's the best thing that someone can do for the benefit of their overall mobility for weightlifting specifically is getting into the bottom of that squat with weight. And maybe you're not ready to do that with, you know, under load right now. Maybe you're compensated, maybe your ankles are really tight or whatever other part of your body or parts of your body are holding you back from that. That is one thing that the barbell mobility program can help progress you into because we are assigning a lot of weighted front squats and overhead squats, pausing in the bottom with your heels elevated. And for anyone that needs to do all of them with their heels elevated and progress down over time, that's something that I would highly recommend as well. But if you're putting all this time into doing mobility, trying to be the best you can at weightlifting, doing the barbell mobility at program, and you're not squatting all the way down with your heavy weighted squats, you're spinning your wheels at least a little bit, maybe not completely, but at least a little bit. And absolutely, I've seen tremendous change. One, your overall mobility was great from the beginning, but just with your consistency and getting there with heavy weight in the front, back, overhead squats, and getting to better receiving positions in your snatches and cleans because you are going all the way down. And I mean, you know, I'm used to doing this as a coach. It takes me, you know, different amounts of time for different athletes to get them to understand the importance of going all the way down, to talk them into getting all the way down, to strengthen them enough and getting them comfortable, giving them enough weighted pause squats to where they finally start getting there a little more and a little more when they don't pause, you know, or even in the first place with pauses. But I was surprised how long it took me to talk you down into that position there. And so, I'm thankful for it.
That is true. It was definitely a weird transition. I mean, to go from where I had been and then making these big changes, it was, you know, I mean, it's like they always say, it's tough to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I wish I could have gone back in time and told myself at 18 years old, when I first started competing, like, hey, here's a better way to do it. Because, you know, right now I'm 35 years old. There's a lot of years of undoing, you know, and it's also a little tough too, because you have to obviously first drop the weight.
Yep.
You know, so first we're dropping the weight, we're changing things up. So yeah, it's been a fun process, but it has taken a lot of time to see the changes for sure.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you brought that up. And honestly, I would probably disagree a little bit that it is your most struggled position, because I think, I mean, your receiving positions look really good. You're always pausing in the bottom of your squats with weight. I mean, you've got a great bottom position. You've got a great squat, but I am glad that you brought it up because it is a solid point for the listeners out there to hopefully take in and consider, are you squatting all the way down? Can you squat all the way down with weight? And understanding that the barbell mobility app and program is a huge help to progressing you down into that position, because we are forcing you, like it's indicated in the program over and over again, to pause for this amount of time, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever that is. And we're giving you assistance to allow you to do that with elevating your heels. We are elevating your heels even when we indicate to go barefoot in the bottom position warmups. And then we do indicate for you to put your weightlifting shoes on for a lot of the front and overhead warmups that we have, because we want you to have that assistance and get used to being in that bottom position for the benefit of your snatch and clean reception. So thank you for bringing that up, Aaron. And once again, thank you for joining me and the information that you provide on an ongoing basis on Instagram and through your blog and through the blog that we do together and that you provided here today on this episode.
Hey, you're very welcome, Chad. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right, guys, that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got some value out of it. For those of you that would like to support Squat University and all the content that I make, specifically on the YouTube channel, head on over to patreon.com/squatuniversity. You see, while my day job as a physical therapist does help support some of the operational costs of creating content for Squat U, I would love to continue growing the brand. So that's why I created a Patreon page. And in doing so, it has options for you to support me for as little as $1 a month and a couple other options that you can use to not only support me, but also get access to live Q&A meetings with me once a month over Zoom. So if that sounds interesting to you, head on over to patreon.com/squatuniversity. If you don't have any extra funds right now, guys, don't worry about it at all. My content will always remain free to you to help you move better in life, in the gym, decrease your aches and pains, and reach your true athletic potential. But for those of you that would like to support me, it would really mean a lot. And hopefully you guys are continuing to get a lot of value out of the content that I'm creating for you. Until next time, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.